Jim. So I would like everyone to start by turning in your Bibles to John, the 9th chapter. And I'll be reading the first 7 verses and then verses 35 through 8, or 35 through 38. That's John, the 9th chapter. Give you all a moment there. And he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. After saying this, he spit on the ground and made some mud with the saliva and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Then some stuff happens with the Pharisees, and we'll skip a couple verses down to verse 35. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he went and found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. In this example, we can see Jesus obviously heals a man of his blindness. He doesn't use just words and grand gestures. He actually touches the man when he heals his blindness. And then after that, we see Jesus finds him again and tends to his spiritual needs, shows him, you know, who he is, so that he could believe. Let's go ahead and turn now to John, the 5th chapter. We'll do the first 8 verses of this one and then the 15th verse. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the Sheep's Gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in it first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever diseases he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had already been in that condition for a long time. He said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." Immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. Skipping down into verse 14. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." See a very similar pattern here, how Jesus first goes to the man and takes care of his physical disabilities, his inability to walk. And then after that, confronts him and talks to him in a spiritual nature. And let's go ahead and get one more verse here. We'll do Luke, the 9th chapter, verses 1 through 6. That's Luke 9, verses 1 through 6. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, "Take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave the town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." So they sent out from the village, So they sent out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. Now we see Jesus equipping his apostles to do a very similar thing, to not only tend to people's physical needs, but to spread the good news. I think it's safe to say that there's kind of a pattern that we can see emerging here. That in each of these three cases, that Jesus has either himself or he's equipped his apostles to tend to people's physical needs and then to tend to them on a spiritual level. Now, I think we can all agree that it's never a bad idea to emulate our life after Jesus' own. So with that, we can look at this this kind of pattern that we've seen through Jesus, and we can apply it to some of our own callings. Now, obviously, everyone is called to do different things. Not everyone is a hand. Not everyone is a foot. So the actual answer to how you can apply this is going to be between you and God. Your calling will have, will be different than mine, will be different from the next person. However, I would like to share with you how I'm planning on using this pattern in my own calling. This pattern, we don't necessarily see Jesus use this exact pattern for every single person that he deals with, but these are definitely not the only three examples. There were tons. I had to narrow down a huge list to be able to fit in here of examples where Jesus does this. So for my personal example here, some of you may already know, but I am going on a mission trip to Brazil next month, in the later half of the month. While there, we're going to be giving away wheelchairs to people affected by disabilities. These can range anything from paraplegics, maybe a spine injury or just flat out broken legs, people with cerebral palsy, spina bifida, all sorts of these various ailments which would prevent someone from being able to, get up and walk around normally. And I'm going to be going with a team of 22 people, and that includes physical therapists, occupational therapists, wheelchair mechanics, which that's what I'm going to be doing, and various other support personnel to, help as needed. And while we're there, we're going to each break up into to teams of three with a seating specialist, that'll be one of the therapists, a mechanic, and a support person. And what we're going to do is there's going to be a ton of people there who are waiting to come and get chairs, and so that team of three is going to find one of those people, and the seating specialist is going to take their measurements, their waist, their leg length, their height, their torso height, all sorts of things like that to be able to match them to the best fit chair. And then myself and the other mechanics are going to make further adjustments to the chair to properly fit their needs. Sometimes someone has like a curved spine or something, you need to have different supports and things so that the chair will actually work well for them. So we're going to be going through that. Now, before we get too far, there's something that you should all know about the culture in Brazil. Just like in that first scripture I read where they had seen a blind man and the first thing they ask is, who sinned that this man was born blind? They automatically assume that it's a curse from God, and that's the way that most of these disabled people are treated. They're outcasts in their own villages. In fact, it's not uncommon for mothers to hide their disabled children away from the rest of the village and even from their own family. And oftentimes the mother is the only person that these children will have physical contact with. And for many of these children, we are going to be the first people other than the mothers who actually lay hands on these child, these, the child. So with that in mind, going back to the pattern we gleaned from Jesus, we're going there to help them with a physical issue that they have. These people are unable to get around. Oftentimes they spend, most of their lives in a house in a dark room in the back. So we're coming to give them mobility. But just like Jesus, that's not the main point. It's not about the wheels. It's about delivering the word of God. After we've taken care of these people's spiritual needs, our physical needs, we then tend to their spiritual needs. Every recipient of a wheelchair is also going to get a copy of the Bible in their native language. In this case, it'll be Portuguese. We're going to talk with them about, you know, the love of Jesus, why we're doing what we do, and we're going to pray with them and pray over them. Now, most of the time, we don't even need to initiate that conversation. These people, you know, as we're sitting there working with, you know, we're working with a child or working with a brother or a son, you know, I'd say almost everyone has some sort of family there with them that brought them here. Or some caretaker in another sense. And during that time, I'd say about 9 out of 10 families, while we're working on the chair, will ask us, you know, who are you people? Why are you doing this? You know, why did you come from a different country over here to take care of our people? And that makes a beautiful platform for us to share the love of God and to tell them, you know, we're here because Jesus loves you, because you are a worthy person in God's eyes, which is something that to many of these people is a completely foreign concept. Now, as with any work, I believe it's important to pray to God, to turn to God for prayer, asking for help. So I'm going to ask all of you, my church family here, to pray for me and to pray for the trip. For the most part, God has already blessed us immensely. He's put into place all of the pieces needed for the trip to be a success. All of the work visas have gone through. There weren't any issues with lodging or you know, making sure we're going to have food and water and all that sort of things for us while we're down there. Working with our country partners has been great, the locals in Brazil. But there is one specific issue that we do have logistically. Currently, there is a giant shipping container in the port of Rio de Janeiro where we're going to be working that has 220 wheelchairs in it that we had planned to pass out over the course of about 10 days or so. And currently, they're not allowed to leave that port. I don't know the specific politics as to why and those kind of nitty-gritty details, but what I do know is that that's not an obstacle for God. God could easily, work that out. Now, we do have a backup plan in case, for whatever reason, God chooses to keep those chairs there in the port. We do have a plan to get about 85 chairs on site, which, you know, would be significantly less. So, you know, obviously, we would love to have all of those chairs there to help as many people as we can. So that's one thing I'd like to ask all of your prayers over during that time. Also just, you know, that the trip goes through safely and that you know, nobody, that there's nothing terribly wrong that happens. So I just wanted to kind of share with you guys my plan, what I'm going to be doing there. And know that I'm not, you know, speaking down to anyone who's not going on anything or is not doing any sort of these mission works. As I said before, we're all called to specific things. God knows all of our hearts, and he's drawn us all in into specific things that we can do. And this just so happens to be one of the things he has called me to. So I'd very much appreciate everyone's prayers on my behalf for that. And if anyone would like to have the congregation pray for them for something else, you can come forward as we sing the song.